Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
The man who sat in the office of psychologist Ed Fish was middle-aged and quite successful. He began talking about his daughter's forthcoming marriage, but instead of looking forward to it, he dreaded it. Why? Because he didn't like the fellow she was marrying? Not at all. Actually, he liked him. "I would really like to have somebody from the family at the wedding," he wistfully remarked. "Do you have any brothers and sisters?" asked the counselor. "Yeah, two brothers." "Well, why don't you invite them?" "Oh, I can't," he remarked. "We haven't spoken to each other for years." "What's the problem?" The man sat there, cleared his throat, fumbled with his buttons on his coat, and then he said, "You know, I can't remember." That is the way that conflicts develop. Once a silent, undeclared war between family members or individuals begins, nobody wants to lose face and admit to being at fault. Fish recalls that on another occasion, a woman sat in his office and said, "My mother told me the other day that when she dies, she would like to have three funerals." "Three funerals?" he questioned. "Yes, that's because she has three children who don't talk to each other. Something happens, and we withdraw. We brood in anger and resentment, which, like concrete, eventually sets in bitterness. Refusing to be the first to admit wrong, we pull back. Believe it or not, most family quarrels don't involve the family estate or who gets the title to the business. They involve petty issues that offend our pride, but in reality don't really matter, and certainly won't matter in a few years from now. Yet relationships are broken, and people who ought to be close to each other become worst enemies. In the next few minutes, I will give you four guidelines which constitute a formula for resolving conflict. Guideline number one. Determine that life is too short to live with anger and bitterness in your heart. Time doesn't allow me to quote medical authorities who would tell you that conflict is a killer, and it isn't the other person it kills, it is you. Guideline number two. Take the first step in resolving conflict. Jesus told his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over." Jesus' advice is not only cross-cultural, it is countercultural too. It is tough to say, "This thing has gone on too long already. I am going to do what God wants me to do. Let's talk about it." Guideline number three. Learn to say, "I'm sorry, forgive me," and then stop. Don't ruin it by passing the guilt to the other person by saying something like, "Well, it was your fault as much as it was mine." That's true undoubtedly. But when you are willing to accept responsibility by saying, "I'm sorry, forgive me," and stop, you have taken the path which Jesus trod in accepting our sins and failures and bringing reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. You will never reach so high as when you accept the guilt and the responsibility of a broken relationship by saying quietly and simply, "I'm sorry, forgive me." Guideline number four. Once you have dealt with an issue, consider it dead and buried. One last thought. Unless you live so perfectly that you will never ever have to ask God's forgiveness for anything, you had better learn to forgive. Jesus said, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive their sins, your Father won't forgive your sins."
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.